We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Under former mayors Richard M. Daley and Rahm Emanuel, the Chicago City Council had the highly publicized tag of being called rubber stamps for the mayor. In fact, councils have worn that label under a number of mayors, except maybe Harold Washington. But political scientists say things are different now, and this weekend we're going to hear how. Hello, I'm political editor Craig Delamore, and this is At Issue. Pretty much every year, UIC political scientist Dick Simpson and his frequent co-author and former political consultant Tom Gradle put out a report on how closely or not the Chicago City Council follows the wishes of the mayor in power. I'll admit we don't do the story every year because, frankly, sometimes it's been the same story. Mayors say jump, councils say how high. But these are different times and a different council. And with a mayoral election shaping up, this is the perfect time to take stock again. We're going to look at this year's report entitled City Council Buries Its Rubber Stamp, with its two main co-authors, Tom Gradle and Dick Simpson. They are both experts in Chicago politics, and UIC Professor Simpson is a former Chicago alderman. And we are conducting this interview via Zoom, and Tom and Dick, both thank you for joining me.
Glad to be here, Craig.
Yep.
Let's start with the report itself, but a little background. Rubber stamp city council certainly didn't start with Rich Daley. How traditional is the phenomenon of the rubber stamp city council?
Well, the term was invented by Mike Royko to describe the Richard J. Daley City Council that existed from 1955 until his death in 1976. So it's a very traditional term. And as you described it, yes, it's when the alderman literally rubber stamp whatever the mayor wants and the opposition is unable to pass anything.
From the 50s, to now, and I did mention Harold Washington, but are there periods where it has been less the case than more?
Well, it certainly was also not the case under Eugene Sawyer, who followed Harold Washington. That was the most divided and confused and anarchic city council that we've had. In the case of Sawyer, where there were 387 divided roll call votes in less than 2 years, and he had to get a new majority every single issue. So it was quite different than currently. But most of them have been rubber stamped to more or less degrees. Usually the mayor starts with a weaker rubber stamp council. That was even true under Richard J. Daley. But the longer they stay in power, usually the more rubber stamp it becomes.
Now, let me ask a question that I've probably raised with you both before, but is it really a rubber stamp if, as was the case, I think, much with Daley and certainly a lot with Rahm Emanuel, where the things that the mayor wants get tweaked and changed in committee, which doesn't always get the kind of coverage, news coverage that it probably should, so that what comes out is an amalgam of what the council wants and what the mayor, I mean, doesn't that make it a little less of a rubber stamp? Tom?
Well, that's what's always said. But the real question is whether or not, when push comes to shove, whether the mayor is going to get what the mayor wants. And sometimes there's compromises, but a lot of times there's an order that comes down from on top. And I think what one of the things that we have seen very recently is that the mayor doesn't have the political power that the old Mayor Daley and Richard M. Daley had, where they can punish people and actually make their life miserable if they don't go along. That's no longer an option because of the times, you know, because of the mix on the city council, because of the public getting more interested in what their aldermen are doing. So it's becoming much more of a democratic body. And I don't, you know, we don't know much about what happens in committee or what happens behind the scenes. You know, so we know what happens at city council because that's what's public. And I mean, so I think it's pretty obvious that there's been a change, whether or not, you know, on the fringes and the back rooms and, you know, other things happen. That's true. But I don't think there was any real compromises under Richard J. Daley at all. I mean, you know, there were orders and he behaved that way. And he also talked that way. I mean, you know, you're going to do what I tell you.
Indeed. Well, let's talk about the current report, because as you have pointed out, Tom, the city council itself has changed perhaps more than it had, in the past, and the mayor has changed. So what did your research find out about this city council and why it can't be labeled a rubber stamp city council?
So first of all, there were more divided roll call votes, about twice as many as under the same period with Rahm Emanuel and Richard M. Daley. There were 131 divided roll call votes over the 3 years. And secondly, there, as opposed to just like under, when I was alderman back in the 70s, there was the mayor and his overwhelming group of supporters, about 40 some odd. And then there were the opposition bloc, which was only 7 at first and dwindled to 3. And when we divided absolutely, somewhat like council wars. And that was the way the council worked. Now there are different blocks of voters in the city council. We don't have political parties because they're all Democrats. At least they say they're all Democrats, even though some of them are Republican in Democratic clothing. But in general, they're all Democrats. So there isn't a party basis, but there are many different factions. And there are also many different coalitions that form: the Black Caucus, the Latino Caucus, the Gay Caucus, and so forth. So that you have multiple interests being expressed. And as they vote on issues, as you were talking about, there's sometimes compromises. None of the issues go through just automatically, and they don't go through necessarily with the original language that was proposed by the administration. Nonetheless, Lori Lightfoot has a strong hand. She has not had to use her veto. She has won all of the votes, even though there have had to be compromises along the way. So it makes more like a representative democracy, something we don't try very often in Chicago, but we're getting to view it this time around.
And should people be heartened or a little concerned about the different factions? Because, you know, each faction seems to represent particular interests, not always the same interests, but for example, you've got a progressive caucus that now has more Democratic Socialist members than before. The Latino caucus exerted itself, especially during REMAP, and we may talk about that a little later, but does the factionalism better serve the constituency, or can it be more counterproductive?
Well, the whole principle of democracy is that you shape the final policies based on debate, discussion, tug and pull, different interests coming into play and then resolve it. And the way it resolves currently is there is a moderate liberal bloc in the city council, mainly made up of the committee chairman. And the people from the other blocks join or don't join on different issues. But in each case, a majority is created and we move forward. I think we've made great strides during the last 3 years. We overcame COVID. We were able to get a new police contract with much better language on discipline. We were able to put in marijuana dispensaries, to decide a casino would be built, to end aldermanic privilege in a number of different kinds of circumstances, improve ethics in the Invest Southwest program, which has poured more than $1 billion into 10 poorest neighborhoods in Chicago, which has never been done, at least since Harold Washington.
And Tom Gradle, are you as comfortable with the development of the various caucuses and factions as Dick?
Well, I am. I'm very comfortable with aldermen acting like they're a co-equal branch of the government. I've always believed in Chicago, especially, but in many of the governments that I'm familiar with, the executive has way too much power, and the executive has too much sway over what happens and when it happens. So I like to see the aldermen acting like they're a co-equal branch of government. And I think that the public needs to catch up and get educated. I think the public is much too enamored with a strong executive. They want the boss, and they, you know, who's the boss? And that's their way of thinking. And I think we should get rid of that. And I like to see the city council doing more of it. By the way, I think we should give some credit to Rosaire Rossi, who did all of the actual numbers research. And he's also responsible for really paying close attention to the caucuses and the voting blocks. And so his work is really important to this whole endeavor.
I want to, while we're talking about the different caucuses, that played out very strongly during the remap. For listeners who, if it was possible for listeners not to follow this, given how much we did the story, even on At Issue, it is that the council has had to have ward boundaries redrawn because of, at least prompted by, the new census. Of course, all kinds of other considerations go into it, which is why it's always probably, you correct me, Dick, if I'm wrong, but I think the most contentious times for the city council seems to be when they're doing remap. No other issue seems to divide the council more vehemently or bitterly than that. But it really came to a head with the Latino caucus pushing for more representation. But the alignments went all over the place. And tell me what you make of that dynamic coming into play when something as important as remap comes up.
Well, first of all, I support the independent commission approach. And we did have one this time, but it wasn't sanctioned by City Hall. It didn't come from the city council and it didn't come from the mayor. It did work. There are a bunch of issues involved in remapping. You have to, first of all, be equal in size. You can't be discriminating against racial minorities or other minorities. You have to try, if you can, to be compact, contiguous, meaning all in the same. You can't have, as we do in a couple of the Chicago wards, just a string like we have out to O'Hare. That is called city property, even though it's only the expressway. And the maps go the same way. The most important thing is we need to protect communities. Poor Inglewood has been divided in some remaps is into 7 different wards, often is more than 4. And even in this remap did not come out well. The reason that's important is if you're trying to get something done for your community, and you have to get the approval of 3, 4, or 5 aldermen, it becomes almost impossible. One will always object and stand in the way of progress for the community. So remapping is very important. And as you suggest, what we had this time was a fight between the Black Caucus, because the African-American population decreased by about 250,000 people who left Chicago, and the Latino Caucus, which had a gain of almost the same amount. And Latinos have been discriminated against in the previous remaps every decade and have never had proper numerical representation the same as their population in Chicago.
And it did increase in the new map, but not as far as the Latino caucus wanted it. And frankly, there was some punishment involved too, because Gilbert Villegas, who is the head of the Latino caucus, had his, if you think the little string of property going out to O'Hare to make that Chicago is unusual. The 36th Ward, Gilbert Villegas's ward, has an 8-mile stretch that is literally one street wide along Grand Avenue. So, it still does that. But, well, we're going to talk about the mayor in just a second, but I just want to remind our listeners that you are listening to WBBM News Radio's At Issue. I'm Craig Delamore. We're talking about the Chicago City Council and the mayor with former alderman and UIC political science professor Dick Simpson and former political consultant and co-author Tom Gradle. Especially with as many factions as there are, does it mean that the job of being mayor is getting considerably harder? And is that a bad thing, Tom?
Well, I think it is. Certainly getting stuff through city council is harder. And the job of mayor is getting harder for a lot of other reasons, too. I mean, television, weakened the power of the mayor. The internet and social social communications and the ability of people to communicate and get together and not dependent on somebody telling them what's going on from top down. That has weakened the power of the mayor over the years. I think the powers of the mayor in the past, in the history, has been abused and has been to the detriment of the people that live here. Now, it's been done with the public's tacit approval. That's another thing that's important. And Dick has been doing a lot of work on educating people about how to participate in government. And that, should start earlier in our lives. But we as a public are not very good at doing things as a group fairly. I've been involved in a cooperative. I've been involved in condo associations, and people are really not very good at getting together and making decisions and making things happen. They need to be, and they should be. And at least that was the idea of the founders of this country, or at least that's the idea they espoused. And we need to do more of it. And, we need to get good at it. I like what's happening from that standpoint.
And Dick, the last time you and I spoke, it was about that very thing, about people getting together and being more active. But as Tom said, sometimes people really, both of you have said, people want a boss, they want a strong leader, and start to get discouraged when they don't see that. And isn't that a problem?
Well, the largest problem is people generally don't have the power to affect government policy directly. They don't get to take a vote that we're going to do this remap or that remap, to use your last example. And that's very problematic. It means representative democracy means we work through representatives. And the nice thing about the current city council is they're beginning to act as representatives of their own communities and their own constituency. in many ways. That doesn't mean they aren't ambitious. It doesn't mean they aren't greedy. It doesn't mean they don't make mistakes, that they don't say foolish things. But in general, they're being pressed by their constituency, and they're trying to act on behalf of their constituency much better than they did, for instance, when I was in city council under Mayor Daley, where we had the silent six black aldermen, for instance, in the early Daley years. They couldn't even offer legislation. I once watched them all vote, except for the independent African-American aldermen, like Bill Cousins, Anna Langford. They all voted that it was okay to firebomb homes. That is, they were unwilling to take a stand against firebombing homes, although it was black homes that were being firebombed by whites in white neighborhoods. It's hard to imagine that kind of thing happening in today's city council. I can't imagine an alderman with a real constituency acting so obviously against the interests of that constituency.
But having a, you know, having a stronger mayor could eliminate some of that. But on the other hand, you have more conflicts. People are, there's more fighting and sometimes apparent stalemates where it's parliamentary maneuvers that go on for weeks or months, that's, and things getting stalled in committee. I mean, people now have heard the statement, the Rules Committee, where measures go to die. That's still there. And isn't that a problem? And how do you solve that?
Well, it is, but let's take a couple of examples of what's happened in the Lori Lightfoot years. For instance, let's take the pandemic powers. I think the mayor did a very good job with her health commissioner, who was outstanding, in helping us all stay safe in the worst pandemic in 100 years to hit the United States. She took a strong leadership position. And she even had executive powers to act without the city council. But the city council very carefully limited those powers and stayed critical and acted as direct liaisons to their own wards, sending out their social media posts and their regular email blasts. I think the pandemic is an example of a strong mayor, but strong boundaries set by the city council. And that's generally true on most of the votes. The mayor mostly got what she wanted, but not always in the form that she had proposed, and often with very severe limits. If you look at the current budget, for instance, the mayor came in with one budget. The progressives in the city council said, hey, that's not good enough. We're getting all this federal money. We want much bigger social programs. We want more aid to our communities for economic development and for housing and to deal with homelessness and mental illness. And by God, they got it. The current budget is one of the most progressive budgets in the history of Chicago in terms of what it's doing for the citizens of Chicago. Everything from preventing evictions to more money for homelessness than in the entire time I've been active in Chicago politics, which covers more than 50 years, and I work directly on homeless issues. So I see it as it comes down. We're about to build a new shelter in the north side of Chicago that will have more facilities and capacities than we've ever had. And I've worked in three different shelters on the north side of Chicago working with the homeless. That's a great leap forward from my perspective, that we begin to deal with the real problems in a real way. And that's both because of the mayor and it's because of the aldermen. The aldermen are pushing issues the mayor didn't start, and the mayor is able to then work out a way that makes it responsible. Sometimes the aldermen's plans are not ideal, and the mayor is able to correct them. Sometimes the mayor's plans are not ideal and the aldermen are able to trim them back.
With the last few years giving us COVID, crime, unrest, and such, I think some people may wonder why there is such a scramble to even be mayor of the city of Chicago. And is it not a daunting job that people should, you know, if they were in their right minds, they would run away from? Tom?
Well, I wouldn't run for office. I think people don't realize that, you know, and politics is difficult. Governing is much, much harder. I mean, governing is a very difficult thing. It's and people don't realize it. And I don't think we give people that are good governors or good presidents, we don't give them enough credit because it is difficult. You've got all these people with all different opinions. They have all sorts of pressures on their own lives to make money, take care of the kids, everything else like that. And you've got to get them all, or at least you've got to get 50% of them to agree to something. And it's much, I know I did a lot of community organizing type work. It's much easier to organize people against something than it is to organize people for something. And it's much more difficult. And so anybody that succeeds that way should get a lot of credit. Lori Lightfoot has more opposition, more conflict, but I think she's up to it. I don't praise politicians at all or fall in love with them. But you know, I'm more interested in what the public does and how they are able to, you know, get involved and pressure for good things to happen. And politicians will pay attention. When the public really is interested in something, really wants something, politicians pay attention. And I think that's the important thing. And I like what's happening with the council.
Go ahead.
I would just add, Craig, to your question. I think it is important that politicians have what some of our former presidents called the vision thing. That they have a view of what's going to be the best Chicago we can possibly be. What should we be in the future? Not just have some knowledge of the past and all the problems of the current, but I think people should run for office like mayor because they see a possibility for good things to happen and that they can communicate that vision. And as the old Mayor Daley used to tell me, you don't have the votes, kid, that they can get the votes to actually bring that vision into real life, even if it changes along the way. And I think that's important in, you know, in terms of making a decision personally about who to support for mayor this time around. I think the question we ought to be asking is who has the best vision and the ability to be able to get what that vision brought into reality that we agree with.
How, and we've only got about a minute or so, how do we control for the fact that so much of this is about the public perception, the things, the commercials, the things that make everything a person we don't like does look bad? And you know, how do we fight that?
Well, we first change the way we do elections and get public funding so that we're able to get honestly the message from all of the candidates that are reasonably qualified to run. And until we do that, we're going to be bombarded with negative ads. And that's the bane of our existence. Both we don't like it when we see it on television or hear it on radio, but it also produces apathy and unwillingness to participate. So if we could do one thing that would fix some of the election process, I think public funding of all campaigns from the local aldermanic and mayor up to the presidency is where we need to go.
Well, that is going to be the final word. That was Dick Simpson, the political science professor from UIC and also political consultant and co-author Tom Gradle. Thank you both for spending this half hour with us. To our listeners, if you would like a copy of this program or to hear it again, please visit our website at WBBMnewsradio.com. There's a link on the homepage. You can also find our podcasts on Audacy.com. That's Audacy. We'll be back next week with another edition of At Issue, and I hope you'll be listening until then from City Hall. I am Craig Delamore, 105.9 WBBM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.